Our attitudes toward gay rights are changing across the country. Lately, every day seems to bring news of a new court decision opening the way for gay couples to marry. But that does not mean everyone is accepting of homosexuality. Far from it. It still takes courage for a gay person to come out to loved ones and takes some work for the loved ones to process the information in many cases. That's why today's guests wrote a book with a very obvious title, This is a Book for Parents of Gay Kids. It's in question and answer format, and more than parents can benefit from reading it. Danielle Owens-Reed and Kristen Russo are the authors. They live on opposite sides of the country, but they've been working together for years now, primarily through their website, Everyone is Gay. They tour high school and college campuses around the country to increase awareness of LGBTQ issues. Danielle, welcome.
Thank you so much.
And Kristen, welcome to you.
Thank you very much.
So tell us about the two of you, each of you in turn, and how you got into this line of work.
Well, it all started from a pretty funny place. This is Danielle, and I created the website Lesbians Who Look Like Justin Bieber a few years ago. And right after I created that, I met Kristen, and I was telling her about some of the negative feedback I was getting from people saying I was stereotyping the community and things like that. And we decided to sort of speak back to those people and created an advice site, and that turned into us getting very serious questions about coming out from LGBTQ youth, and we decided to just take it and answer those head on and with our own experiences, and it all has kind of evolved from there.
So that is the one of the points, though. It is from your own experiences. You guys are not counselors, or are you? I mean, what kind of backgrounds do you have?
No, all of our advice we give, both from life experience and personal opinions. We are not licensed social workers or doctors or counselors of any kind. And I think that's what sets some of our work apart, is that we are speaking just from our personal experience and things that we've been through, and then, of course, sharing the voices from the community as well, so that they can also share the experiences that they've had.
You do have some guidance, it seems. I mean, you do have, for example, the foreword in the book is by Linda Stone Fish. Is she involved in the preparation of the book also?
She was involved. She wrote the introduction, and it was really, really amazing to have her help. And we did talk to her a lot about some of the things that she had done in the past. And then we had some guidance throughout the book, too. We have a very extensive chapter on gender, for example, and we had a mother and her transgender son help us write that. And they basically wrote the entire chapter, and we just kind of shaped the voice.
So tell me about you mentioned already about the starting of the website, Everyone is Gay. I mean, the name is very happy, but also provocative, certainly. I mean, how much time did you guys spend just deciding upon the name for it?
Well, that's a funny question, because we didn't name the website thinking that we were naming an organization, certainly. I mean, we thought we were just going to have a little bit of fun on the side and make some jokes and give a little bit of advice, and that would be the end of it. So in its inception, the name was just a silly thing. Danielle and I were on GChat, and we just kind of went back and forth a few times. And at the same time, Danielle said, no one is straight, and I said, everyone is gay. And then I got on the subway, and I came above ground, and the site was live before I knew it. But, you know, we've been working with Everyone is Gay now for over 4 years, and so we've looked at the title and looked at it in the context of the work as it is now, and we actually think that it still applies in a way that is a bit more meaningful and a bit less funny, although we like to keep the funny, of course. But so many of the questions that we get are, you know, how do I come out to my parents? I'm afraid of what they'll think. Or I've come out to my friends and they understand, but they just, like, they don't get it. They don't get me. They don't understand the person that I am. And so Danielle and I like to say, all right, let's say everyone is gay. Let's say everyone is bisexual. Let's say everyone is transgender. Let's just take it out of the equation for a hot second. And what you're left with is, you want your parents' approval. You want your friends to understand you. And so we think that there's an element of universality with the struggles that our readers have and the rest of the world.
I mean, they are people. I mean, that seems to get forgotten sometimes by some people in this whole process. It's not like they're gay people. They're people, you know?
Exactly.
And so your own coming out stories are included in the book. Boy, Kristen, Thanksgiving, really?
Yes. I want to be able to remember that story for the rest of my life, so... I certainly didn't plan it at all, actually, but I decided Thanksgiving Day was the day that I would come out.
So but what were the circumstances then?
Well, I was a freshman in college. I was 17, and it was my first break from being away at school. And like I said, I didn't plan it. I sat down at the table, and we ate our meal, and a relative of mine had given me, I come from a fairly religious family, and a relative of mine had given me a translation of a Bible, like a student Bible. and I had taken issue with part of it. And so after we had finished our meal, I brought it down to the table, and as I tend to do, I voiced my opinion on the matter. And my mom asked me pretty pointedly if there was something that I wanted to tell her. And she had asked me, as a younger person as well, before I even knew what my own identity was, she had asked me if I was gay. And she asked me in that moment, and in that moment I just made a split-second decision, and I said, yes, there is something I'd like to tell you. I'm gay. And my dad was also at the table. He immediately got up and gave me a big hug, told me that he would always love me and that my happiness was his primary concern. My mom, however, burst into tears, definitely made sure that I knew that she loved me, but her religious beliefs really took us about 10 years of journeying together to get to a place where we are now, which is one of acceptance and love.
Wow. Okay. I want to hear more about the journey there, too, but also about Danielle's coming out story. When we come back from a break, this is the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Danielle Owens-Reed and Kristen Russo about their book. This is a book for parents of gay kids. They're also the founders of the website Everyone is Gay. And you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange when we come back from the break. Back with Kristen and Danielle and you in a minute 20. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guests today, Danielle Owens-Reed and Kristen Russo, the creators of the website Everyone is Gay, which gives a chance for people to get to ask some questions about how they should be handling things in their lives and get answers from Danielle and Kristen with a lot of warmth, a lot of humor, which is also conveyed in their book, This is a Book for Parents of Gay Kids, a question and answer guide to everyday life. You can join our discussion on the Exchange, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Danielle, unlike Kristen at Thanksgiving, you had a somewhat smaller audience for your coming out. What's your tale?
I did. I came out to my mother and father separately, and for my dad, it was just it wasn't even an issue for him. You know, he just wanted me to be happy. And for my mom, as I came out to her in that moment, she was just like, oh, that's okay. Ellen's gay, and I love Ellen. And I'm from the South. I wasn't making up a mom voice.
Right.
And so I felt very relieved at first, but a couple of days later, my mom called me in tears, asking me not to cut my hair short. And kind of over the years, she would ask me things like, why don't you want a family? Why don't you want to get married? And a bunch of questions that I didn't know how to answer because I frankly did want a family and I did want to get married and I didn't understand how, just because I wasn't interested in men, how those things were closed off to me. So it was very confusing, but it was tough.
Interesting you put it in that context because those answers have changed quite a bit in the last 10 or 20 years and certainly with marriage a lot in the last couple of years, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, marriage has always been about, committing to a person, committing to a life partner. So now that it is legal, it's definitely much, much different. But for me, even 10 years ago, I was like, but I can make that commitment and like have that celebration regardless. And now, of course, things are totally different, and I actually have the ability to get married, so it's an even deeper conversation, but yeah, exactly.
I'm struck by your mother thinking that you were going to change your appearance or something, that you'd become something other than the person you'd been.
Yeah, I know, and it's interesting because it did take me, and I'm still going through this, it did take me a long time to figure out what it was that I was comfortable wearing and how I wanted to appear, and a lot of that is just because, you know, we're taught from a very young age, girls wear pink dresses and boys wear blazers and suits, et cetera, so it's been a difficult journey for me, but yeah, I think my mom immediately was like, you are a different person now. And that was pretty hurtful to me, but I don't think I realized it at the time.
And Kristen, you mentioned some bumps and bruises in about 10 years of trying to set things straight with your mother after you came out. Was she? You mentioned how religious she was. Was she trying to get you to go to church, read the Bible, understand things her way more, or what was the struggle there?
Yeah, she. My mom has a very, well, I guess I, by default, also have a very large family, but she has 7 sisters, and they're all pretty religious. And so she was also getting a lot from her extended family Bible verses and things that she should do and things that she should tell me. So I was getting that funneled through them to me as well. You know, please read this. Please consider this. Please pray on this. My mom prayed for many, many years that I would meet a man specifically. And then as her beliefs started to evolve and shift and our conversations grew, she tells me now today that she realized that what she should have always been praying for was my happiness and that I would be content in my life. And so she feels a lot better about that now. But it really did take a long time, and we still have members of my family who didn't come to my wedding last year and stuff like that. So there's a lot of love, but there's also a lot of confusion around faith.
If she was praying for a man to come into your life, was she taking any action to that effect? I mean, was she trying to bring people over for dinner or anything in the hope that you'd meet the guy who would turn you ungay or something?
Oh, man. Thankfully, no. I know that that happens. She did not do that to me. I'm very, very glad about it because I think she probably knew me well enough, especially in my teens. I was fairly fiery. So I think that she probably knew if she tried to pull that, I would probably have just walked out of the house.
All right. So it's no big surprise. The first chapter in the book, which, of course, is This is a Book for Parents of Gay Kids, is about coming out. After you guys share your own stories, we get the questions and answers for the people who read and use the book to deal with. So one obvious question is, do parents often sense this is coming? It sounds like neither of yours were particularly terribly surprised. But what is the often the circumstance that you find in dealing with the many people you've dealt with through Everyone is Gay?
Man, it is such a varying, it's so different depending on the family and depending on the parent. And I think we've talked to so many people whose parents have said, like, oh, I always knew, or, oh, it doesn't matter. And, you know, even that, even if you did sort of have an idea or you may have guessed, we always say that it's not the best to tell them that, because in a lot of cases, you know, for Kristen and myself, our parents both asked long before we had any idea. And for me, it was so difficult for my mom to ask me if I was gay when I was 14 and not even really thinking about my attractions to other people. So for me, it was like, what's wrong with me? What is this thing that other people see about me that makes me seem different? And in general, it just made me very defensive. So, you know, regardless of whether or not you know or you think you have an idea, we always say to kind of let your kid go on that journey for themselves and allow them the experience of coming out to you.
So in other words, don't, even if you strongly suspect something, ask them, you know, you think you're gay? Because it's probably going to surprise them as much as anybody else.
Exactly.
Yeah, and on top of that, you know, there are things that you can do if you do suspect that, and they are just making your home one in which conversations about equality are had on a regular basis. And that's so much easier today than I think it was 10 years ago, because like we've mentioned, it's all over the news. It's all in our legal systems. There are so many things that you can use as a way to signal to your child that you believe in equality and that you love and support all people. And then they know if they do want to come out, they have a little bit of a cushion there, that they have a feeling that you may accept them as well.
Are there struggles even for the parents who pride themselves on having gay friends, being open-minded, etc.?
I think so. You know, I think that it, maybe if it is less of a struggle, even you still have questions and you still feel, I think, a little uncomfortable asking those questions. And that's what I think concerns us a lot, is the halt in conversation in general, because after your kid comes out, I think they expect that it will at least be a topic of conversation sometimes. And if everyone's avoiding the subject, then no one's feeling super comfortable, the dialogue isn't continuing, and you start to kind of strain that relationship. So we just always suggest to keep talking about it.
Well, and in fact, the very, very first question in chapter one coming out is, my child just came out to me and now I don't know how to talk to them. Help! So what would be some of the first steps here?
You know, one of the biggest things that we say in that answer and also throughout the book is trying to remain as consistent as you can as a parent. You know, you don't have, just as your kid is not a different human being now that they've come out to you, you also don't have to be a different parent. Certainly need to seek out more information and learn about the community and engage with your child. But if you've always been the kind of parent who jabs your kid in the ribs and says, hey, don't you think that girl is cute? Don't change that now if they've come out to you. You know, once you're feeling comfortable, try to resume that same role that you had in their life, because I think as an LGBTQ kid, what you want the most after you come out is to feel like not everything around you has changed.
So in other words, if you're like, hey, isn't that girl cute, don't suddenly say, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Got it. In your case, what does the Q stand for? I've seen it used different ways.
You know, it can, in a lot of cases, it stands for queer, which is really wonderful for both Kristen and I because it's very all-encompassing, and I think that the meaning of that word shifting has made us both feel a lot more comfortable in our own identities. But in a lot of cases, it also stands for questioning, which is such a strong, strong number of people, especially when you're in your teens and you just recognize attractions to different people and you wonder what that means. So I think the Q is my favorite letter.
We were talking to Danielle Owens-Reed and Kristen Russo about This is a Book for Parents of Gay Kids. The title explains pretty much exactly what's inside it. It's a question and answer book aimed at parents, and it is an extension of their work on the website, everyoneisgay.com, which is a very fun site, but obviously a lot of gravity to it as well. Join us on The Exchange with your comments or questions for Kristen and Danielle. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.com. I know this is a book directed at parents, but for either of you, how carefully do you recommend the person coming out to choose situation, time, place, number of people around, things like that?
You know, we've been talking about this this week, especially because we're surrounding National Coming Out Week and National Coming Out Month. I don't know. We keep making it longer and longer in our conversation.
National Coming Out Year.
Yeah, National Coming Out Year. But I think that the young person really has to think about their surroundings and know. You know, if they think that they're in an environment where their family may kick them out of their home or take away financial support, it really is incredibly important to have a plan. If you know that your parents are going to be supportive of you, but you think that there may be some difficult times ahead, I think that you can probably do what I did and do it when you feel most comfortable and just sort of seize that moment. But for a lot of people, you know, there are situations that are a little bit trickier, and it is very important to always have a plan before coming out if you're in that situation.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned, and I just had a chance to look back at the book, about the idea of if you think your child is gay, not asking them. Don't open the birthday present 2 weeks before it's your birthday. 2 days, I think, is what you said. But it seems like it would behoove a parent who suspects something to maybe have a response prepared as well.
You know, that's a really, really great question/statement. I think that it's hard to do that. You know, maybe if you suspect, you do have the ability to be like, I love you, I support you, I am so happy that you have come to me with this information. But I think also that it's good to forgive yourself for not doing that. I think more often than not, you'll have parents who are surprised or who are caught off guard maybe in the moment and who will say like, oh, I don't care, or it doesn't matter, or, oh, are you sure? And then 2 days pass and they're like, what did I do? So I think more important than preparing a statement is maybe allowing yourself to feel exactly what you felt, forgive yourself if it wasn't what you would have wanted to say, and revisit that with your kid and say, I am really sorry I said I don't care, because I do care and I'm so happy and I love you and I support you.
So, in other words, you know, it seems like the first response is often, oh, I love you. And there could be a lot of silence after that. But so, you know, in other words, for the parent, take the time you need. And if you need to talk about it later and even much later, perhaps do it then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, coming out moments are just 9 times out of 10, they feel a little awkward, you know, even if they are good coming out moments and full of support. It's just a funny thing to say, hey, I would like to tell you all I am attracted to this particular gender of person. It's you know, it's not the way that we normally speak to each other. So it is going to feel a little odd. And sometimes it's going to create some pretty funny stories that mm-hmm. in 5-10 years you'll be telling around the dinner table.
Do you guys laugh at your own coming out stories now?
There is a moment that I shared with my father, I think it was just like a week or so after I came out, where I was in the kitchen with him and he said, well, I mean, you know, that Gwen Stefani, she's pretty hot. And I was like mortified, just completely mortified, because I was 17 and didn't want to know who my father found attractive and certainly didn't want to talk about it with him in the kitchen. So that's a story I like to tell and I find pretty funny.
Well, Kristen, do you have any brothers? Did he not have anybody else in the family to say those things to?
No, it's just me and my sister. So I think he was excited to share his desire for Gwen Stefani.
Did he make any other assumptions too? Like he could start talking the NFL with you or anything?
No, he was pretty good when it came to stuff like that. He didn't make any of those like gender-based assumptions, you know, where, oh, you're gay now, so you'll probably like to do like guy stuff with me, which I was happy for, because that really wasn't the case for me at all.
There's a good question in here about parents thinking that their very young child might be gay, and it makes me curious about how young people now are seeing things that make them think, this kid might be gay.
Yeah, it's been very interesting for Kristen and I, too, with talking to so many parents, because you make assumptions on such strange things, you know. We have little, you know, with people who are like, my son is playing with dolls. Do you think he's gay? My son wants to dress up. Do you think he's gay? Or my daughter loves playing with trucks and playing in the dirt. Is she maybe going to be a lesbian? And we're just like, I mean, what 3-year-old doesn't like to roll around in the dirt, you know? And what 3-year-old doesn't like to dress up? So it's very interesting. And I think that crossing those gender lines might make parents think that it could have to do with their sexuality, when in reality we're in a world where kids are playing with kids, and whether they're playing with dolls or trucks or what have you, it doesn't necessarily mean anything about who they're going to be 20 years from now.
We're talking to Danielle Owens-Reed and Kristen Russo about This is a Book for Parents of Gay Kids here on the Jefferson Exchange. Here's an email from Joe in Talent. Joe writes, I have 8 kids, and so far none of them have shown a preference for anything other than the opposite sex. But from as soon as they were old enough to understand the concept of different preferences, I wanted them to know I would support and love them regardless. Kids have enough to deal with navigating teenage years. The last burden they should have to bear is keeping a secret like this from their parents. My brother had to, and it was painful to witness what he went through and how it affects him to this day. A simple hug and knowing your parents love you regardless would have completely changed the course of his life, his struggles and regrets. I hope someday books like this hold no interest, because who we love won't matter. So, Kristen, you thinking you might want to put yourself out of business eventually?
I mean, you know what? I can't think of a better reason to put myself out of business.
Yeah.
I would love for this book to become completely obsolete as soon as possible. I think we have a long way to go, but I agree, and I think that's a beautiful letter.
Danielle, the second chapter in the book is about first reactions, and do parents still wonder what they did or might have done differently?
I think so. We have one of the questions, is it my fault? And there's a story from a good friend of mine, her mother, and she was thinking, you know, what did I do, not necessarily to turn my kid gay, but what did I do that she didn't feel comfortable enough to discover that on her own way earlier? And I think in general, as a parent, you want your kid to feel supported and loved and protected. There's nothing that a parent does better than worry about their child. So I think in general, you know, regardless of what your first reaction is, when you get to a certain point, you're like, what did I do that didn't allow you to go on this journey so much earlier, so we could have gone through this together in such a positive way?
Do those beliefs still linger, though? I mean, it wasn't that long ago. I guess what I'm saying is I'm not that old, but it was, you know, when my father first talked to me about homosexuality, I was asking him some questions, and he said, oh, it's usually caused by a weak mother and a domineering father, which people still believed well up through 1970. I have to believe those attitudes still hold on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We get questions on a regular basis from young people who express those things to us, that, you know, who even wonder, some of them, those things themselves. You know, I'm having these feelings, but, you know, my mom says, well, I didn't have a father figure, and do you think that that's why I feel these things? So it's certainly present, and I think people just want to know why I feel this way. And I think that, like, the bottom line is that we're human beings and we have different attractions, different desires, different ways of identifying ourselves. And I don't think that there's ever one single reason why we feel the way we feel.
The chapter in the book about telling others raises the general question about whether your parents are the best people to hear it first. I mean, you're probably going to tell your friends first, aren't you?
I certainly did. It was much, much easier for me to practice on my friends than it would have been, I think, to immediately tell my parents. And, you know, my parents never questioned that, but we do get a lot of parents who say, like, why did you tell your brother first? Like, why did you hide it from us? And why did you feel comfortable telling all of these other people, and we're the last to know? And I think it's difficult, but as a kid who was in that situation, talking to my friends, I knew by way of all of the other gay friends that I had, I knew that they would be okay with it and they would love me no matter what. And my parents, like, I didn't know any gay people that my parents knew, so I had no way of gauging what would happen. So for me, it was so much easier to talk to people that I knew were going to be just totally down and have no questions than it was going to be for me to talk to my parents.
Danielle Owens-Reed and Kristen Russo are guests on the Jefferson Exchange. Their book is This Is a Book for Parents of Gay Kids, perhaps the most clear book title we've ever had on the Jefferson Exchange. Welcome back and talk more with Danielle and Kristen, and take your comments and questions via phone, via email on the Jefferson Exchange. Back with Kristen and Danielle and you in a minute 25. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking today to the authors of the book, This Is a Book for Parents of Gay Kids, Danielle Owens-Reed and Kristen Russo. They are the creators of the website everyoneisgay.com, and this really is a book aimed at parents to let them know by question and answer how they should be dealing with some of the issues that their kids are bringing to them when they say they're on the LGBTQ in the umbrella, I should say. Join us on the Exchange with your comments or questions, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Danielle, as the creator of a website about how lesbians look like Justin Bieber, I mean, it's obviously a raging sense of humor in both of you. How much did you guys have to restrain yourselves to make this book less opinionated, less humorous, but still real and helpful?
Oh, so much. I would love to lie and say that being serious comes naturally, but when we originally turned in the book proposal, it was like, listen, y'all. And then our publisher was like, we love the two of you, but no. So we had to sort of form this third shared voice that the two of us have, and we had to be grown-ups about it. But it's still lighthearted, and you can still, you know, our personal stories are in there with little sprinkles of humor. So we kept as true to ourselves as we possibly could while also being, you know, having big girl pants on.
Did you have to scrub it of snark? let's take a call. We have Paul and Grants Pass on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Danielle and Kristen.
Good morning. A wonderful book and a wonderful concept and something very, very important. Both of your fathers are to be saluted and honored for being the kind of loving parents every child should have, excuse me. I'd like to drill down a little bit more into the gay and lesbian issue. In your opinion, is it nature or nurture? And the reason I twigged on this was in the comments where people were freaking out about their children at 3 years old dressing up or rolling in the dirt playing with Tonka trucks. And it seems to me that if the parent is projecting their own fears, they could be doing a lot towards making that determination right there. And as a fear-based projection as opposed to another one. The other comment I'll make is I remember reading a study a long time ago that resonated with me that suggested that approximately 10% of the population at any given time is going to be gay or lesbian, and that this was an evolutionary survival tool that we used when we were in hunter-gatherer groups to assist with child-rearing and the other functions of society. Don't know if there's any weight to that or not. I'll take your answers and your responses to my comments off the air.
All right. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. What do you think?
Well, you know, the nurture versus nature slash the is it a choice or is it not a choice debate is a really tricky one. I think it's, you know, it's something that we could probably talk about for an entire hour, but probably more than that, probably an entire month. But the long and short of it, and the way I think that Danielle and I both view this, is that the first part of it is wondering why we ask that question in the first place. Why do we need to know where this came from in a person's life? I think that for some people, certainly, and we know many of them, from a very young age, they knew that there was something that they were attracted to, people that maybe other people weren't attracted to, or they felt a certain way about themselves that other people didn't feel. But for somebody like me, for example, I didn't have that experience at all. I had no inclination that I was anything apart from Kristen until I was about 16, 17, and I realized that I had the potential to have feelings for girls. And so for me, I don't think that it was in my DNA so much, but I also, it's not like choosing French fries over a salad, certainly. But I think that to those questions, we both always like to turn it around again and say, well, what are we getting at? Because if we say it isn't a choice, and then you say, well, okay, then that's all right for you to be gay. I mean, ultimately, we're saying that if it was a choice, we wouldn't choose to be the people that we are. And I think that that can be damaging. So I think that for people who wonder that, it's important to start at the beginning, which is, why do I need to know?
You know? Well, especially when it gets into the whole, you know, nature causes this, there's probably a gay gene, those sorts of thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Which would lead you to believe that maybe what people are saying is, well, then we can treat it like a disease or something, and there can be a cure for it. There can be a pill to stop
which
genus.
Is super dangerous.
Right. And as far as, you know, nurture, I think that parents who allow their kids to, you know, dress themselves and explore their feelings and have an open home, I think they're only servicing their child in a way that child can explore and understand themselves and not feel that terror that a lot of people feel when they are going to come out to their parents. And I think when it comes down to it, whether if you let your kid dress themselves and date whoever they want, you have nothing to say about it, they're going to be attracted to who they're attracted to regardless. I mean, if you have a young girl who is attracted to a boy and you say, wait, but you can wear whatever clothes you want and you can date whoever you want, she'll probably be like, okay, well, I have a crush on this boy I just told you about. So, like, I don't personally think that allowing your kid to make their own decisions and having an open home can really affect it in a negative way at all.
Yeah. And to the second point, too, you know, I feel like we sort of are talking about the choice and nature nurture, but I do think that there is something super fascinating when it comes to studies that look into our biology and our desires from that standpoint, from like a cellular survival standpoint. I'm not familiar with the particular study that was referenced, but you know, I don't mean to say that curiosity about like the human species is a negative way of viewing LGBTQ community at all. I just think that it's probably a tricky line and. Mm-hmm. And I do. I would love to read that investigation or that study and see what it says. I think it's pretty interesting to think about all of our bodies and our brains and how they work and why.
So beyond root causes and beyond coming out, which is a good bit of the first part of the book, I mean, we do get further off into things like thinking about the future. There's a whole chapter by that name, Chapter 4, which gets into some realms that once the initial burst of, oh, my goodness, has worn off for everybody. There are things to consider here. And in fact, the first question in the chapter is not even a question. It's just a statement. I never pictured my child's life to be like this, which gets back into the whole issue, I think, that both of you mentioned about, you know, well, why don't you want to have a family? Why don't you want to get married? You do. But
yeah.
But it's just hard for other people to grasp what that pathway is going to look like now versus the one that we think about in traditional terms.
It is, absolutely. And I think that this, you know, while of course we are talking about kids coming out, I think that this happens with a lot of families for a lot of different reasons. And you grow up and your parents have this very specific vision of what will make you happy and how you will be grown with their grandkids and what will make you happy and what job you'll have. You know, there are a lot of people who don't want to follow their dad's footsteps in the path of being a lawyer, and as soon as they bring that up, it's also a huge thing. You know, it's hard to switch that picture in your mind when you've been viewing your child a certain way and hoping that they have a certain future for so long. It's a difficult shift, but I mean, it can be done, and it has been done, and you know, hopefully our answer to that question can help you do it.
I also find interesting the question and answer about, my child is bisexual, does this mean they can later choose to be straight? I imagine these questions are being presented in the book because they have been asked. You've been exposed to them.
Absolutely. And that question means a lot to both of us. We see that experience very often in our conversations with young people. And, you know, the bisexual community is a very, very large part of the larger LGBTQ community. And I think it's often thought that if you are bisexual, that means you can choose who you fall in love with, right? Well, if you're attracted, if you're a bisexual man and you're attracted to both men and women, why wouldn't you just choose to then be with a woman? But ultimately, right, that's not how it works. It's like if we told a heterosexual person, well, if you're attracted to women with blonde hair and brown hair, then you just should just choose the one with brown hair. You meet people, you engage with people, and who you fall in love with is who you fall in love with. And then on the flip side, I think a lot of people think that if you are bisexual, you are interested in dating lots of people at the same time. There are identities that encapsulate that, but certainly the label bisexual doesn't imply anything about how many people you're attracted to at all.
And there is a chapter in here, too, about the birds and the bees, which at first glance would be like, what? Oh, but then you realize the parents are going to, this is a book for parents again. This is a book for parents of gay kids is the actual title. And so it's the questions that they're going to have about what their gay children are going to be doing. And so interesting questions about things like promiscuity. And what is that one obviously gets asked a lot, but, you know, people thinking, well, this means, I guess the question I'm trying to pose here is, do parents automatically think that sexual behavior itself is different just because the sexuality is different?
You know, that was something that surprised us as well. We didn't have that question. We, in our original table of contents before we sent it off to a bunch of parents to say, you know, how is this? And almost every single parent we sent it to was like, well, I would want to know if my child was going to be more promiscuous, which we honestly didn't even think about at all. But it is a question. And, you know, we say a person is a person, and I don't think that who they're attracted to affects their level of how often they want to be engaging in sexual activity with other people. I don't feel like those things are mutually exclusive at all.
And then there's also a question here about talking to children about safe sex once they have come out to you. Those conversations would be the same, wouldn't they, for hetero or homosexual children?
They would, and that's kind of the kicker, you know, is that safe sex is safe sex is safe sex, and there are many ways to have sex, and you need to know how to tell your child to engage in all of those practices safely. Or if you're not the kind of parent who wants to have the conversation around specifics, you can point them in the right direction. And so, you know, the book has a 101 section that has those facts and figures that you need to know to practice safe sex, but it also points to resources. So if you don't want to hand your kid the book, you can send them a few websites, and we have websites that are inclusive of the LGBTQ community in their safe sex practices.
Gotta love this question. How do I handle sleepovers? What was the answer there?
We love that question, too. I mean, we say, you know, stick to the rules you always had. I know my mom was super uncomfortable when I brought the only time that my parents spoke after they originally got divorced, the first time, I guess, was when I brought my girlfriend home from college, and my mom was like, are you letting them sleep in the same room? And I think that's kind of the feel is, you know, if you have a 14-year-old who has come out to you as a lesbian and she has a friend over and you two have talked about it and she's more than a friend and you're lost, you don't know what to do, but you know that if that were a boy, he would not be able to sleep in that room. My opinion is she shouldn't be able to sleep in that room. And you can always come to a compromise, you know, and just be open with talking to your child and knowing about who they're, you know, engaging with in more than a friendship type way so that you can make those decisions. But, like, house rules are house rules. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, whatever you decided originally, no matter the circumstance, should stay in place.
Mm-hmm.
We get into the chapter on religious beliefs, and Kristen, of course, you mentioned earlier that your mother was very religious, strict Roman Catholic family. Did she ever actually come out and say, oh, my God, you're going to hell?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Oh, yes. She sure did. She did. I mean, she didn't say it in a, like, you know, Helen Brimfire way. It wasn't like, you are going to hell. It was much more, I'm terrified that you are going to go to hell. That was her biggest fear. She truly believed for several years after I had come out that because of my sexuality, I would not have a place in heaven, according to her beliefs. And that is, I mean, I can't think of a belief that would be more firmly rooted than that one. And that's why it took us so long, so many conversations and so many examinations of you know, the religious texts and faith and what it all meant and how it was specific to each of us on this planet before she was able to really start to wrap her head around the fact that her understanding may not have been the only understanding. And she does not think that I'm going to hell anymore, so that's nice.
That's nice. Well, it's not just religion, it's region, too. And I certainly got to wondering, once you said you're from the South, Danielle, about your experiences with dealing with people in that part of the country. Having lived there briefly myself, I know that things are a bit more rigid like they used to be in some senses.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's true of the South, but in my experience with traveling so much with Everyone is Gay, I've found that it's true pretty much all over, depending on where you're driving through. You know, I think one of the scariest times that we've driven was when we were somewhere in Pennsylvania, which to me, I don't know why, I think of like Philly and Pittsburgh, and I think of Pennsylvania as a more liberal area, but the looks that we got from having an Everyone is Gay magnet on the side of our car was just terrifying. And myself, being, I lived in Chicago for 5 years, so I just assume that Illinois is very liberal as well, but there are towns there where people aren't. So it's about feeling safe and supported regardless of where you are.
We're still learning a whole lot, and we'll learn a lot from this book. This is a book for parents of gay kids. Danielle Owens-Reed and Kristen Russo, the authors, thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's a pleasure. Take care.